NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
The NAFTA podcast is back. All four of us are in the building. Michael, is it match week 30? It's going into match week 30. We're going to talk about 29?
Yeah, I think so. That makes sense.
I am fresh off of a return from Hawaii. I am burnt to a crisp and jet lagged like a motherfucker. So there's that. I hope I don't fall asleep. I'm probably not going to have much to add here because full transparency, the most transparent podcast out there, us, obviously. I didn't watch any of these games, mostly because they were finished before I woke up Hawaii time with the 6-hour time difference. So
I wonder who's more sunburnt when you come down for a beach weekend. Is Dylan or are you going to be more pink by Monday morning? Oh,
it's got to be. Dylan, you get pink like that?
I'm naturally pink. It's my base.
Same. I'm pigmented pink.
I don't anymore just because I wear SPF shirts and don't take it off any at this point. This is 30.
If I was more confident in myself and just didn't give a shit, I'd take my shirt off right now and show you my back. Because there's my shoulder blades have hues of a well-aged burgundy wine. It is like maroon and it's pretty fucked up back there.
Until you have your foot blow up and you're recommended to go to the hospital because of sun poisoning, you ain't got shit on Dylan Tucker.
That never happened.
Jamaica. That was your knee. I'm sorry, it was your knee, not your foot. It was your knee, not your foot.
No. My foot did blow up, but the guy at the resort looked at me, started laughing, came back 5 minutes later with an actual aloe like leaf and said, "Hey man, you should put this on."
Just put that on it. The whole leaf.
Here's some aloe. Cool. Thank you.
I am like a third aloe right now. It's just on my body everywhere. But I have a very similar sun poisoning story. So maybe we're playing on the same field. Really early in my relationship with Alexis, I went to Aruba with her family. First day there, just like went balls to the wall out in the sun and had basically like flu-like symptoms the entire night, sweating and then getting really hot and then sweating again. And it was
how old were you?
So how old was I?
Yeah.
Probably like 26.
Know your body. 27. Know that that's going to happen if you don't do shit the right way, you fool. God, you're 26 years old.
I didn't say I wasn't, to blame, but, sometimes things like that make you a better and stronger
person. At that point, your frontal lobe is fully developed. Know what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah, but my frontal lobe wasn't telling me what to do with, my back with sunscreen. So, fucking chill.
I don't know enough about the brain, anyway, but I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. We got a ton to go into. I'm sure that we will touch on this during the podcast. Michael, thank you for editing and doing all the grunt work.
That travesty.
It was.
I got more DM traffic from that graphic than anything. Yeah, so
that was
far.
The best part. I mean, honestly, forgive the editing. The picture of Riyad Mahrez with just fucking pencil lines over is honestly the best.
I was asking someone if we could turn that into an NFT. I don't know if that what NFTs are, but I thought that was an opportunity.
That's honestly more artistic than the NFTs, though.
So. Yeah. That's maybe the greatest contribution you've had to the NAFTA podcast network so far. So shout out to that. But thank you for doing the editing. It's not fun, as you came to learn. And we were sharing texts at random times, being how do I do this? So I do appreciate you doing that. That said, I'm back. I'm going to edit it just because I'm sure there are portions of that podcast that people wanted to remove from their ears. Let's get into some of the games of last week. We'll start midweek Thursday. Nothing in much detail, but Wolves 4, Watford 0, Newcastle 2, Southampton 1, Chelsea 3, Norwich 1, and then Villa a 3-0 win over Leeds. That'll catch us up for this week. Anything that we want to share about those games? I did mention before this, 4 goals by Wolves is always
our best off a big deal. The Wolves' best offense is Watford's defense, so that's pretty legit.
Love that. Nothing too crazy. I think we probably all as a group knew that Newcastle is the best game of this the midweek was Southampton Newcastle. But Newcastle's kind of in better form than anyone right now.
Yeah.
That wasn't a surprise. Chelsea's gonna beat Norwich. And Leeds defense is a travesty. So we all kind of figured that was gonna happen. Let's jump into the games of this week. First one up, Brighton 0, Liverpool 2. A Luis Diaz. I would have killed for a Ruben Diaz goal today. A Luis Diaz goal in the 19th, and it followed up by a Mo Salah penalty in the 61st. Give Liverpool the 2-0 win. Thoughts, Michael?
So Brighton obviously in a bad little spot here recently. I think that was their fourth or fifth loss in a row in the Premier League. We basically controlled most of the game. They kind of had a lot of possession, but didn't really do anything with it. Since you didn't watch the game, John, I guess my question is more to the Tuckers. I don't understand how. I mean, do we just scrap VAR? Like, is VAR pointless at this point? Like, does it do anything productive? Because I don't understand how Robert Sanchez doesn't get a card for that. Not even, I think it's a red card. I don't understand how he doesn't even get a yellow.
I mean, I think it's just there so we can have conversations on the podcast. Because
is it not a foul because he scored a goal from it? Like, he headed it, he gets absolutely just taken the fuck out.
I mean, I think you're trying to go remember the Titans and call unnecessary roughness on the quarterback. Like, you kidding me, coach?
Dude, I don't know.
He literally clotheslined him. It probably should have been a penalty.
I mean, knee to the face.
Because he scored.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but that's ridiculous.
He should, yeah, but that. Well, you're not going to get the score twice.
I think you can, and one.
Here's another goal kick.
Yeah, that's like if they bring somebody down in the box, like red card, you still have to kick the penalty. Like, it's not guaranteed. But I guess now they saw the ball go in, they're like, no, you're good. Like, not even a yellow, though, is insane.
I think credit to the ref for playing advantage.
True.
It's the NBA that's continuation rule.
Yeah.
It's fucking horseshit.
VAR continuing to be controversial. I did listen to the podcast last week, though. So, VAR is pretty much here. I do agree for us to just talk about. It's like how you guys are talking about Man United. Like, it's good for TV right now.
And go ahead. Sorry, Nick.
No, go ahead. No, I was just going to say later in the podcast, does that mean you have answers to our questions?
I didn't write them down. So if you guys remember the questions, I'll give you answers. Next game, Brentford 2, Burnley 0. A double up, 85th and 90th minute plus 4 stoppage time, Ivan Toney goal. I do want to stop because I do remember you guys talking about this. I say Ivan. Is it Ivan?
I think it's Ivan.
I like Ivan? To think it's Ivan.
I think it's Ivan Toney.
Yeah, like he's Ivan Toney, like from Elton John, like Levon.
But whatever it's worth, John, I'm happy that coming off of vacation, you've just worked yourself right back in here into us trying to work on pronunciations of words from last week. So,
what were you just pronouncing?
I failed speech class. Yeah. We all know this, right? Let's get over it.
It's Ivan Toney.
The linguistic pod that no one knew they needed, NAFTA podcast. Anyway. Brentford, big win for them, obviously.
Huge.
Burnley not doing themselves any favors. Christian Eriksen had the assist on the first goal, which is a heartwarming story. Continued. So, anyone else got anything on this one?
Ivan Toney, the best penalty taker in the world.
Up there.
Just
Jorginho would fight you over that.
They don't take. It's surprising. No one takes those short run-ups. As much so they're so strong and they can put so much power behind it. That's so much better because it gives you more margin for error. Like if you don't hit it perfectly in the corner,
dude, he straight up stares your ass down. And even if you go the way he's going, he just fucking pistol whips you with the ball. Doesn't matter.
But so he has that short run up that is great. Michael, was that the It was the AFCON final we were like watching together, watching those pens. Mm-hmm. Where like two of the guys tried to do the same
thing. Oh my god,
thing.
Terrible.
Two of the worst penalties we've ever seen.
I can't remember I can't remember who it was. They were the favorites though, weren't they? Like one of them. And they just like got in there to shoot penalties and they were just fucking terrible.
Yeah. Insane. I think this may be the death. Just getting to watch him, I'm hoping it's the death of the Paul Pogba like slow trot type of penalty, because everyone was doing that for a while.
That was miserable.
So I kind of hope that's over.
Sorry, Nick. That was terrible too.
I know you're getting like ricochet shots.
I'm not taking the penalty kick.
All right. Chelsea 1, Newcastle 0. Kai Havertz goal in the 89th minute gives Chelsea all 3 points. Newcastle finally get a loss, but it had to come late in the game and to a team that is, you know, actually a better team than them, but still, I'm assuming, look pretty good. Michael, you're the big Bruno guy here. What are your thoughts about Newcastle?
Should have had a penalty. Don't know why they didn't. Trevor Chalaba literally just pulled down Murphy in the box. Didn't even get reviewed. Again, what the fuck is the point of VAR? Maybe should have had a red card, but I think it was probably good to be a yellow. Chelsea are just not that good. And it's going to get worse because all the sanctions and shit. Like, they're not going to have as many people to play in front of the home stadium. They're not going to have away fans. I don't know about all the, like, the logistics stuff, but I think they're looking potentially, if Arsenal keep it up, I think they're looking potentially at fourth place.
It did say a while back that Chelsea might slip, and it only took, you know, the battle of the two bigger state-sponsored war criminals to own teams. But, you know,
that's true. Well, they're gonna be a state sponsored. Do you see the new bid from
it's Saudi.
Saudi Arabia.
For Chelsea?
Yeah, internet company or tech company or something.
I did see this in terms of like everyone talking about fair play. Like, it is hope that the poorest team in the Premier League can beat the richest team in the Premier League, which is pretty dope.
Hey, but
that's true.
All joking aside, that first touch to bring the ball down and finish was insane.
That was great. The pass was great. Season? No chance. That wasn't that good. I mean, it was.
Oh, that's right. That happened at the 12:30 game on Saturday. That's right.
Yeah, I guess. I just think. I mean, you could make a case. I don't agree, but you can make a case he shouldn't even have been on the field, which is, you know, how soccer usually works.
Yeah. Cool. I think we should come back to the Chelsea thing after we go through these games, because these sanctions are
devastating.
Insane.
I saw they could fold if he doesn't sell it within, like, whatever, you know, the 90-day window that gave him, I guess, or whatever.
I think Newcastle's which makes it helping on this on purpose so then they can take over their role in as a big four and kick Chelsea out.
Yeah.
You know, that's how geopolitics.
It's interesting, though. I did see, like, that they could fold as well, and it's because of ticket sales. And then I sit here and I'm like, we did go through, I guess, a year and a half of no real ticket sales either, so I think that's probably a compound interest. But
right, but they can't get money from, like, sponsors and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point, too.
Anything, like, yeah.
I was about to buy a Pulisic jersey. Now I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you just, like, not get
a
jersey?
You really?
No, I was not going to actually buy a Chelsea Pulisic jersey.
See, I would like to try. I would like to go and see if they, like, you just can't go on
the
Chelsea.com.
Team shop's not open.
That's nuts. That is nuts.
Yeah. Another thing that's devastating. Everton 0. Wolverhampton Wanderers 1. Connor Cody. Big goal in the 49th minute. Continue Everton's shambolic approach to this season.
What's that face?
Dylan, you're the Hank Whisperer.
Sorry, I just went to the Chelsea Megastore's website, and it just takes you to a page that literally reads, due to government, it just literally says, you can't do anything, order returns, like, you can't, there's no, the only thing you can do is order, send the customer service, and go fuck yourself, you can't buy anything. Like, it's all, like, it's literally only, like, you go to, like, the thing on the top of Google, it's justapod.com and Etsy. You can buy Chelsea jerseys at Etsy.
Jesus. Damn.
All right, we've delayed Hank's death for a little bit there, but Dylan, I have to assume you talked to him because this was the Hoboken Derby. Does he live in Hoboken?
No, he lives in Philly.
Okay,
Philly.
This is the Philly Union Derby then. What's going on in his head?
Well, once the Wolves went up 1-0, the text went to a minimum because I didn't want to rub it in. But
yeah, good friend.
Essentially, I mean, from watching the game, they do the same thing every time. I think Hank was even saying, like, the first 15 minutes they look like, oh, Everton might actually do something, and then they don't, and then they just start getting booed at home and nothing happens, and then the Scouser legend himself just heads it in for his one more goal ahead of Messi. Again, there's more Connor Cody goals than Messi goals, so I get why PSG is booing. And other than that, they just look flat. Like I think it goes back to what we were saying before. It's a bunch of players that know they can play in the Premier League that are like, if Everton goes down, like, we're just going to get sold and go somewhere. But at the same time, you think they would care because it'd be they'd go down in history as the first time Everton goes down. But did you guys realize, though, because I didn't, is that Everton has like 3 games in hand as well, but their schedule's tough as hell. So like, it could still screw them, but like they also have like 3 games they can, that they should be able to get away. But like Burnley, I think is going to still.
But it's not like they're playing well or anything.
I know, but they still have 3 more games in hand.
I'm going to keep it a stack with everybody here. They're fucked. They have to play West Ham, United, Palace, who look pretty good, Liverpool, Chelsea, Leicester. They could probably beat Brentford and Arsenal. And other than that, they have Newcastle and Watford. That's it.
Watford and Newcastle obviously aren't gimmies.
And that's why, like,
no, especially not.
If the Newcastle and Watford games are 2 out of their next 3, if they actually do, if they lose those, then like, I mean, I know it's not a big if, but if they lose those, they're officially, I think, going down because the rest of the schedule is against all teams that are probably going to kick their ass.
Watford's schedule's pretty nice. Newcastle are pretty much safe, but I think they're kind of playing with a little bit of enthusiasm now, even though they are safe. Brentford are pretty much safe, so they could maybe get them. You know, they're not really threatened to go down. Other than that, West Ham are playing for something. Every one of those other teams are playing for something.
I think it's Everton versus Burnley, and it's what we said a few podcasts ago. Burnley is Bane, and Everton's Batman. They have literally, like, trying to adopt the relegation battle where Burnley was born in it, and they know what to do, and they're excited.
Are you willing to adopt the rest of your season picks against Everton, Dylan, since you said that they're screwed?
I think I am doing that, so sure. Except for in the FA Cup, because I told you, I think the FA Cup, that they're going to – this is Hank's actually philosophy, is that they will get relegated, win the FA Cup, win Europa, be in the championship while being in the champions.
Because they're not going to get promoted next year?
Yes.
Damn. That'd be insane. We're over on this one, but 2 quick questions that are going to probably cause a lot of conversation, which maybe I shouldn't do. All right. Watford's at 22 points, Everton's at 22 points, Leeds at 26, Burnley at 21. What number gets you safe?
28.
Not 24 anymore.
28.
29.
30.
But I think I said 34 a couple weeks ago, so I'm going to say 34 just to be right.
I'm going to say 31 keeps you up.
31 keeps you up. I think 31 definitely keeps you up because I think it's like 28.
So what do you think? Yeah. So what do we think? 18? What do you think 18's at?
27 or below 28.
That's
what I'm saying. Below 28.
That's the number I want to know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, in the 20s.
I think if you're below like 17 might be on 29, but I think 18, 19, and 20 are all not above 28.
Will goal difference play a factor?
No, I think Everton's just. I think Everton's gonna be 19th. I don't even think they're gonna be 18th.
Because, I mean, really? You talk about Burnley and Everton. Like, Burnley's only one game more than Everton, and they have minus 16. Everton's minus 19, and they're a point apart. Like, Everton draws or like, I mean, it's right there. Like, that's going to play a major factor with those two. But Watford and Norwich are gone with that. So,
yeah. All right. So we say 28. Nick, you're up in the 31, somewhere around there. And I think that's the number we're looking at is 27 to 32.
Yeah.
Just anywhere.
And let me just further my point before we move on and let this be the last thing. Who do you want to try to keep your team up? Roy Hodgson, Sean Dyche, or Frank Lampard? I mean,
I think I said it as soon as he was hired.
Big Sam.
They hired a championship manager to play in the championship.
I mean, that right there. I mean,
yeah.
They're Big Sam. They're going to be 18. Or they're going to be 19.
Relegation battle experience is overrated.
Better manager, Wayne Rooney, Frank Lampard.
Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, Wayne Rooney, because he's going to get Derby out.
Yeah. I'm rooting for him to get Derby. I check the Derby scores like once a week now. All right. Everton plus 200 to be relegated if people want to start making
I will
money
put that. I'll another do that right team, after this.
Another two teams scrapping in relegation. One of them pronounced dead on last podcast. Leeds United 2, North City 1. Jesse March with his first Premier League win, a Rodrigo goal in the 14th. And then some just absolute pandemonium in stoppage time. Norwich equalizes in the first minute on Kenny McLean, and then a Joe Gelhardt goal in the fourth minute of stoppage time gets Leeds the win. I can't believe Leeds held a team to one goal, is my comment.
Joe Gelhardt, Scouser.
They all are.
Yep. Somewhere.
Seems like.
They're always there everywhere.
bigger win for America, Jesse Marsh's first win, or World War II. Just kidding.
I think we gotta go back to when we were talking about our predictions last week where we thought Leeds was gonna go back-to-back losses, and this is a huge, because it could have been a few more weeks till he actually got his first win. Getting that win out of the way early, I think this is what Michael said last week, was very, very important to breaking the American kind of hijinks that they didn't really like about him very much, and I think it definitely helps.
His just image a dumb and comment,
his support
honestly.
Going forward. What's that?
It's just a dumb, like, it was just a dumb thing he said.
Oh yeah, like I know I agree, but we were just talking about how if he goes 0-2 to start or 0-3 to start, his schedule doesn't get any, his matchups don't get any better, so it's just gonna put him in a bad position. So getting a win early kind of obviously takes that pressure off, and makes things a little bit easier for him.
Yeah.
Also, Nick, the least American person here, picked only guy here to pick Norwich to win.
I'm sorry. I'm here to win. I'm picking for me, an American citizen in America, to win. I think that's pretty damn American.
I did notice.
me first is super last... American.
On brand. On brand.
I did figure that out two podcasts ago when you did go full United, like losing to City. But as Dylan being the most American person here, he just has to keep them up, right? Like that's his only only job.
This year, all he has to do is keep them up, and I think he gets next year to see what can be done. And selfishly, I'm really happy this win happened because now they don't have to try as hard on Friday.
Yeah. Very, very true.
Sorry.
Another relegation team. What's up?
We play to win the game, as I think you quoted the great American philosopher, Herm Edwards.
Oh, Herm.
Yeah, how's Arizona State doing?
I don't know, but isn't there a thing like
Forks up, baby.
That's what it is.
Forks Take it up. From the local Arizona guy. Forks up.
another team in the relegation scrap, getting a big W. Southampton 1, Watford 2. A double for Juan Hernandez in the 14th and the 34th. I feel like that's a name we haven't said all season. I might want to go back and look at how many goals he actually has for Watford, only to have Southampton claw one back on El Yunesi's goal in the 45th. As soon as we thought we had Southampton a little bit figured out, they throw a total wrench in all of our plans.
Cucho has 5 goals.
Yep, 5 goals, 2 assists. I think it's fair to say that Southampton, as they say, are on the beach already.
Yeah, they're safe. They're already playing golf.
Yeah, they're safe.
That's the just such a, like, they were all over them.
Yeah, they basically gave all them their goals too.
Yeah,
yeah. Big win for Watford, though. I mean,
yep. Huge.
Now they're just huge win for Watford. I actually think that Southampton is who we thought they were, and that's us not knowing at all how to predict what they're going to do. So that's the only other thing I was thinking.
I think to this relegation battle. Like, I'm more excited for that than what we're probably going to talk about later between Liverpool and City.
Yeah. There's more drama.
Do we think Watford, how wild would it go? Norwich, Watford, Everton, 2019-18.
Or and plausible Norwich, is and that. Norwich gets out?
No, 20. Respectively. Yeah, I'm sorry. I said that, comma, respectively. That's what I should have said.
So Norwich, Watford,
Norwich, Everton? Watford, Everton, and Burnley gets out.
I think it's going to be Norwich, Everton, Burnley.
I think of all the teams that can make it out, Burnley would be the one that least surprises me to make it out because it's just.
I think Burnley getting out is the safe pick, and I'm not about being safe. I think Crab Watford.
You think
I think
Everton's eight?
I think Hodgson's swan song gets him out.
He's been having a swan song his last 12 years of his career.
Well, he had an actual one because he left Crystal Palace, and then they're like, he's sitting on his couch with a fucking blanket over him, and they go, call him up, and they go, Roy, we need you bad. And he goes, ah, fuck, all right, I'll come back.
Roy's like the opposite of Tom Brady. Like, he wants to retire.
He just can't. He has like a deal with the devil.
I'm picturing him picking up that phone call with a rotary phone, too.
Yeah, sipping tea with doilies on both arms of his couches.
And he gets up. He gets up and he's like, he gets up and his wife's like, where are you going, Roy? And he's like, I'm going fucking back. He's pissed about it. I can't believe it. I'm going back.
Just when you thought I was out. Fuck.
Yeah. Watford's calling, sweetie.
Where the fuck are they?
Alan John put a good phone call for him.
Oh yeah, it's true.
They probably went to grammar school together.
Yeah.
Good.
Man. West Ham United 2, Aston Villa 1. Incredible goal. I know probably all of you got to see some type of Instagram post for Yarmolenko's goal in the 70th, being Ukrainian and whatnot. And then Fornals in the 82nd, and then Jacob Ramsey pulled one back for Villa in the 90th. Big win for West Ham. Again, Dylan's theory proves out. Aston Villa, a pretty good team. West Ham plays pretty good teams very well. But keep pace in Europe for West Ham.
Yeah, I wish they lost.
They have like a pretty high XG, but both their goals kind of like they were both really good chances. They kind of just came out of nowhere, though, to be honest. Like, I thought Aston Villa was actually doing a pretty good job defending and, like, getting on the counter and stuff. And then they just, like, both the time, they were just like, oh, I'm just right in front of goal. Let me just kick this fucking ball in. And then, you know, that was it, pretty much.
I thought it was a big win for them, too, because they haven't won in 3 matches.
Right.
Like, not in the league, but that Sevilla loss was kind of shocking to me. I thought they would take Sevilla to the cleaners.
Pretty sure they...
And, yeah, not a...
Oh, never mind. I just realized I'm wrong, so... My bad for interrupting. Oh, no, I'm not wrong.
Real time.
Oh, you're not wrong.
Well, I was saying, I think it was a big win for them, too, considering that they play Tottenham, right, on Sunday? I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, you're correct.
So, like, based off of that, because, like, that's a win they need, because if you somehow drop points in that, you're at least still... like relatively, I think, level with Tottenham, as opposed to obviously if you win, it's huge, but it gives you a little bit of a cushion there. Hope they tie.
Very, very true. All right, last quick one of the day. Arsenal 2, Leicester 0. Thomas Partey, I know that's a name that has not come up much and has not scored many goals this year. I hope I'm not wrong on that. In the 11th, and then Lacazette, a pen in the 59th. Big win for an Arsenal team that I feel like it's just a roller coaster. Two goals.
Two goals, one assist.
There you go.
From defensive mid, that's pretty good.
A Arsenal team that is literally a roller coaster. They will win six, lose four, win five, lose three. But now they're back on the right side and surging at the right time.
Could use some of those four losses in a row right about now.
Yeah, I figured.
Well, but, hopefully Wednesday.
Well, I'm gonna ask you a question, or gonna ask you a question.
Yeah?
How tall and how heavy is Thomas Partey?
He's a big boy, I'm pretty sure.
And no one got my pun.
No, he's from Ghana. No, we got it.
Ghana.
We know your tricks now.
I guess it is true what I said in class today. Why do you tell us all these jokes, Mr. Tucker? Because you're forced to listen to me and react to it because no one else does in my life.
All right. I always go last.
We're the same level as your kids. Love it. Yeah.
I think he's tall. So I'm going to go say 6'1". And, okay, so like short people are usually like 150. So I'll say 171.
Putting them all in a box. I love it. He's like, well, if they're short, they must fit this size.
Dylan's going full spelling bee on us right now.
Because it's basketball season, carry I'm going with a short king of 5'10", and carry the two, 167.35.
All right, I'm going to go full, like, the other way. I'm going to go 6'2", 182.
Well, I thought he would be, because he's got some pretty broad shoulders, I thought there'd be some more meat on those bones. But he is 6'1". Michael.
What?
170 pounds.
Oh, he's too fat. I picked him too fat.
Damn it.
I thought he'd be heavy. He's very broad shouldered and like he's just a very big, has a very big, just wide.
He's cut, dude.
I think of him as a big boy.
He's cut king.
6'3".
Well, you know why he doesn't wear the bag. He doesn't wear tight jerseys. He wears baggy jerseys.
That's a good point.
I audibly gasp on my red eye flight this morning when I was listening to Yeomin San's Height and Weight.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie.
It's the Harry Kane effect, man.
Yeah, it really is.
Confirmed over 6 foot Harry Kane, by the way. Confirmed over 6 foot.
Yeah. Confirmed tall. Well, Harry Kane's taller.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, big win for Arsenal. Leicester is safe, obviously, but this is not one of their best years. Yeah, the only question I wanted to get everyone's answer on, in my personal opinion, they got to get rid of Brendan Rodgers.
They're not going to, though. They'll let him. He'll finish the season, then he'll probably go on his merry way.
Yeah, that's fine. I meant for like next year.
Who do you get?
Is this the last time we see him? He's got had two big jobs in England. Is this the last time we see him in the big time?
No, dude. He'll go back to Scotland.
He'll probably be your new coach
and like be a king.
Let me repeat my question again. Is this the last time we see him in the big time?
I don't think he's. I don't think they're gonna get rid of him.
Yeah, so I think they should, but it's the same Hodgson debate we had last year, where it's like they're in. Are they satisfied with 12th though? They are the team outside of that big six though that always.
Yeah, they've had a bad
eight,
year.
Seven,
but they've also had a fuck ton of injuries, and the only thing I really blame him for is like they're quite literally the worst team for set pieces. Like they give up goals for fun for set pieces, and he just refuses to like. Acknowledge that, which is not good.
Yeah.
But I,
let's remember where they were, though, man. Like, I mean, they were. He's kept them at this level. Like, they've been a yo-yo team for almost the whole entire club's existence.
Yeah.
Like they had a real like Jamie Vardy's getting older. Like that core, like those guys. Like it's a completely unrecognizable team from even 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so this is again like this is. To quote, we are who they thought they were. Like this, maybe this is who Leicester is. They had a great run. They had the golden years, and I can't remember who the coach is from the Bears.
I couldn't think of Dennis Green's name either.
Dennis Green, damn it. Yeah. When he's with the Cardinals. But yeah, like this is who they are. Like, you know, they had a great run for a while, and you know, they'll sit mid table and hopefully not collapse down, because you know, it's a cool club.
Of all people, you should know you're allowed to have a bad season.
I'm sorry, Dylan, it's a bad decade. we are who we thought we were.
Speaking of the bad decade, a bounce back game for the Red Devils. 3-2 win over Tottenham. Ronaldo obviously also heard some of the slander that was talked about on the last podcast. Big NAFTA listener, shout out to him. A goal in the 12th, a goal in the 38th, and the 81st confirmed the hat trick. He was not the only United player on the score sheet, though, because Harry Maguire gave Tottenham their second goal in the 72nd, with Harry Kane getting a pen in the 35th. Good win for United, honestly. I mean,
any win is a good win.
It was a great 4-1 win.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel bad for him, man.
Dude, he. I saw the stat today. Again today. It's every game that him and Varane, that Maguire and Varane have completed the 90 minutes, they're undefeated.
That's crazy.
The two games they lost that they started were, they both, one of them went off at halftime with injury, which is bizarre, but.
That is actually like a weird but true stat type of thing. Like that makes no sense.
I mean, it was, you know, I did, when I sent the video of me voting for player of the match, I did vote for Fred, because that's the best game Fred's ever played in the United shirt. And Fred's been out. I think Fred's been at a much better level this year. And honestly, Ronaldo's hat trick, while it was freaking awesome, it masked a pretty poor performance, to completely be honest with you. I thought we were average. We weren't the more threatening side consistently. But we do have to thank Cristiano Ronaldo for doing two good things on Saturday. One, the win, and he brought Tom Brady back to football.
Now, that
there's no way Tom Brady didn't get that vibe, everything, that competitive sense, and is like, there's no way I'm freaking retiring.
Tom Brady actually said who convinced him to unretire, and it was LeBron James, so.
Damn.
Well, LeBron James to me has no water in my book, so it was Cristiano.
Yeah, that 56, the 56 he dropped didn't mean shit, huh? Tom Brady thought it did.
Yeah, I dropped 56 points in my entire high school career.
One of the more important questions I have for you, Nick, since you've joined this podcast, is this. Being a history buff, you know presidential races, you know history of running for president, and people will say, you need to have this image, you need to have this presentation, you can't have this to run for president. Is maybe the fact that Fred is never going to get his just due when he has a good, you know, run of games or starts playing really, really well, is the fact that he is just Fred? His name is just Fred.
I'm curious where the presidential stuff's poor coming branding in right here.
I'm saying, like, if some guy's got green hair, they can't run for president. If some guy's got a fatal flaw, that's the type of thing.
I mean, yeah, his start was pretty, like, he just can't overcome
the name.
You know, but maybe it just speaks to, I'm just a higher, more sophisticated fan than most people.
Yeah. You see past the name.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, he has had some really, really bad, bad moments. But there's some reason this past year, and I saw the beat writer, I think he's proof that everyone's saying that we can't play under manager change bullshit. Because Fred's only gotten better over the last 2 years or 3 years with multiple managers in part. So he is athletic. He's just stopped making dumb decisions, and the decisions were so bad we actually realized he's actually kind of a good player.
Also, you have to take into consideration that the bad decisions he makes are exacerbated when you don't have a good CDM to like clean up after him.
Well, I think the fact that he was able to play more the way he wants to, he's been better with Matic next to him. Because you guys know me, I love McSauce. I love that freaking dude, but
he can be,
what are you talking about?
He runs
about?
Around. Like, dude, that's all he does. He's fucking Scottish. Dylan, he just runs around like a madman.
The real definition of a buzzsaw, Dylan, is Scott McTominay. He literally runs through people.
That's an inefficient buzzsaw.
Dude, Scott McTominay plays with the heart, the grit, and the effort. If he was more talented and more skilled and more technical, but he puts Fred in bad spots. No, he is, because he gets too aggressive.
So and all the shit.
Matic, who is a more controlled and true sick. Like, if we got Declan Rice, I think Fred would be freaking good.
So,
like, Fred could really play.
McTominay's bad at all the things that make a good soccer player.
No.
So Ragnarok was right. We need more players. We need better players.
I actually totally... This might be me not paying attention, and shout out to me for starting a soccer podcast and not paying attention to soccer itself. I forgot you guys had Matic. Like, I thought... I didn't even remember he was on this team.
Could be... What, who?
Matic. I'm having the same problem you guys are having. All right.
Wait, what's the thing in Ted Lasso?
I got home in New York City at my apartment at 9 in the morning. We landed at 6 in the morning. I took off Hawaii time, 1 p.m. All right, guys. Give me some runway here.
Wait, what's...
I'm sorry.
What's the thing when a word becomes a sound in Ted Lasso and they just keep saying it over and over again? John just like, Matic.
It's Matic. The way that we play when Matic
see,
you can't even do it. Yeah,
it's we're so much better because like and we've been saying like you could play a true 4-3-3. Like you look at Liverpool when they, I mean, all these teams that have that true holding piece and that true six, it allows someone like a Pogba to go play, you know, and it allows a Bruno Fernandes to go play, and you can go on down the list. I mean, it has to be the top priority. You can mask a shitty defense, a porous defense with a really strong stick.
You'll appreciate this, sure. Nick. It's like in baseball. You want a good catcher. You want a good shortstop. You want a good center fielder. You want good through the middle. Striker, CDM, center back, keeper.
Yeah. You got to have a good spine.
As someone at practice today said, Coach, what do you want me to do? I go, what's your position? Catcher, Coach. Okay, okay. That's what you're going to do right now. Simple as that. Just do your job.
Go fucking catch.
Yeah. Yeah. You're in the bullpen. You're going to catch. Yes. But yeah, you're right. Anything up that you can mix and match out on the side, on the wings, but.
Through the middle, need it.
It wasn't that good. Honestly, we didn't play that well. So getting back to it. Yeah, I think we were outplayed. We weren't that threatening. Ronaldo's just fucking pulling shit out of his hat. That was vintage Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yep. The other
good
side
sixth place team.
What'd you say?
Pretty good sixth place team.
The other side of Manchester, just the most bogey team of all bogey fucking teams. And they just happen to be like my second favorite, which is awesome. City nil, Palace nil. To be honest, that's like how you could leave it. Nothing really happened.
Except for, you know, like one team played great defense and had a great counter, and another team basically decided, you know what, I don't want
to. Yeah, you guys low key did just be like, oh, open goal, nah, like let me not score, like three different times.
Yeah, I mean, the one that's off the top of my head is Bernardo's. I struggle to criticize Bernardo because of the season that he's had, but didn't take advantage of the opportunities and the chances. This game is one where, and he didn't play poorly, but this is one of those games where I'm like, damn, I really wish Jack Grealish would finally fucking surface for us a little bit. And yeah, I mean, Palace had a good plan. The Palace executed the perfect plan to beat Man City today. They just don't have the talent to do it.
Right.
When a team plays this way and has the talent, we actually lose pretty often, to be honest. Like that's how it is. So
the thing I was looking at and I was like watching it during the game, like your guys' XG, for instance, right? And I like looking at it. Obviously doesn't tell the entire story, and it doesn't here either. Like you were 2-3-3. I think that's pretty fair. 18 shots, 4 on target. They were 0.73, and I think it's one of those things where there's like another stat that just because like XG only accounts like if you get a shot on goal or get a shot, not even on goal, but just get a shot. And sometimes like they got into good positions and they just didn't get the shot off. But I thought, like, the first half, they were about as threatening as you could be, like, against you guys.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, our Achilles heel is the counter, obviously.
Right.
And they did that really, really well. I think there is a stat, though, that we would be able to look at. I forget what the technical term is. It's, like, threatening possessions or something
well,
like that.
Well, yeah.
Or, like, threatening positions. There, balls in threatening positions.
There actually is, like, an adjusted XG stat that does that, but I just don't know what it is.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't have much here because I think it was one of the poorest games we played. The thing that I'm a little concerned about, and Michael, you and I have kind of texted our way through this a few times now. If you take out that United game, which I didn't get to talk about it last week, but...
Thank God.
Yeah. But
oh, sorry. I'm not on mute. Sorry.
But I honestly think... It wouldn't have, like, I think you guys just played really fucking bad. Like, I don't think we particularly, like, played that well, honestly. I mean, it's hard to say that when you score four goals. I get that. But my point's going to be, go back to the Tottenham game. Lose 3-2. We beat Everton 1-0. We only beat Peterborough, who's going to get relegated from the championship 2-0, and it was second half goals. United game happens next, 0-0 against Sporting, and then 0-0 against Palace. Like, we're due for a good game. And again, 4-1 against United, I probably look like an idiot for saying that, but, like, we have not been in the best form.
You can't put Sporting in that conversation because they didn't really play
true.
A full squad. Like, yeah. Can't take that into account. And the Peterborough game, I think it's the same thing, man. Like, that's a game on cruise control. Like, there's no way they get up for that game. There's no way. They're playing away.
I think that's a better argument. The fact that I pulled it up because I knew this. You might say this too. We still had Mahrez, Grealish, Foden, Fernandinho, Gundogan, Diaz, Cancelo play.
Yeah,
and then the people I didn't mention are Jesus, Ake, and Zinchenko.
Yeah, you can't play a bad team.
That's a strong. Yeah, that's a strong team.
You don't have bad players to play a bad team.
Yeah, but to your point with Sporting, who was it? It was like who's this dude that was playing like right back for us? I had never even heard of him. Egan Riley. Like, I had no clue who that was. Like, that's I totally get what you're saying, but we have enough rotation where this should not happen. And I do really think that we're in a run of interesting form in front of goal. So the Haaland rumors are coming at a great time.
I was gonna say if I could obviously it's still you guys, and I think there is just this difference when like you play us and we play you. I think we both get up for the game a lot, mm-hmm. regardless. Mm-hmm. But if it was just like I'm getting to pick when I want to play you guys, I would pick right now. I'd pick you guys the next game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think for whatever reason, like, you guys just go in, like, little droughts of unless you get the ball to the goal line, you're not scoring.
Yeah. So I think the glass half full version of me is looking at this and saying we've played Palace that's going to counter, and then we also – okay, we just played Palace that's going to counter. We're going to look at that tape and hopefully get a game plan around how to defend that a little bit better. And then the next two games we have are Southampton and Burnley, where they're going to sit back and we actually have to create chances. And if we can do that in those next two games, I'm hoping we're going to roll into Liverpool a little bit better, better prepared, I guess. So, all right, that was the week. Michael, we rolling through these?
Oh, yeah. You want to know the updated records?
Let's do it.
John, you are 152 and 129 currently, because we're counting this Chelsea win now from the next match week. I am 140 and 141. I'm so close. I could, ooh. If City would have won, I'd be over, but I'm really happy that you guys didn't. Dylan, 131 and 149. And Nick, who had the worst week this week, 4-6, 108 and 92. I was 6-4. Dylan and John were 5-5. Nick was 4-6. All pretty much the same, for the most part. But
I've said this before, real quick. I've said this before, but I actually think it's over the top impressive that almost all four of us are close to being over 500. It's insane.
Yeah, it's.
I'm really two games above 500.
Yeah, I keep forgetting.
Yeah, true. But also, you have the handicap of your jinx. So if we took out every Wolves game, actually, and then just calculated your record, I'd wonder what it'd be.
I might do that before next week.
No, save it till the end. Save it till the end.
All right, fine.
All right, go ahead, Michael. Keep going.
All right, so the first, we have some makeup games three. First, we have Wednesday, Brighton hosting Spurs. Brighton are pretty shitty. Spurs. Brighton also play to Spurs' advantage, so I'm going to go with Spurs.
I got Spurs as well.
I need the Spurs to lose. Come on, Brighton.
Okay. Nick? Spurs. Spurs. All right. Three Spurs and a Brighton. Now we have Liverpool spot. Going to the Emirates. This one, I was just going to say when we were talking about the City game. I think that draw comes at a perfect time because I think this now, it becomes motivation to get up for this big game. Because I think this is going to be...
Because we were related, we have a little ESP, I guess. I was literally going to ask you, like, going through what I just did, is this a benefit or a negative for you guys having to play this big game?
I think if you guys win, like, the 90th minute, I think it becomes super bad because then you're like, oh, fuck, now we got this big game. We have to keep pace. And truthfully, I think we're going to win. I'm confident we're going to win. But I think with that ability that, like, you could draw and still it be in your hands to a degree, like, if we beat you guys, it's a little bit more comforting. And I think just the fact that you guys did drop points is added motivation to win the game now. So I got Liverpool.
I have Liverpool. I think at this point they see blood's in the water and they're not going to drop points.
Yeah, Liverpool.
I saved myself for the last because I'm going to go full heel. I think it's going to be a tie because I can't pick tie. I'm going to pick Arsenal.
All right. John goes tie. Next one we have, I mean, this is probably the biggest game, actually. We have Everton hosting Newcastle. I mean, this one, this is like do or die.
Yeah.
I have Newcastle. Agreed. I have Newcastle.
It's do or die. Yeah, it's do or die, and I think that Everton's dying. I got Newcastle, too.
I have Newcastle.
Sorry, Henry.
Everybody picked a Newcastle.
Build that castle.
Oh, my God.
I don't care how many people have to die on Saudi Arabia. Fucking Newcastle.
All right. Now to – we have the FA Cup this week, so there's only four games played. We have Wolves hosting Leeds. I think the high from the Leeds last second win dies a little bit when it becomes impossible to score on Jose Sa. So I got Wolves.
Too big, too fast, too strong.
Jesse Marsh.
Leeds beats Wolves. Jesse Marsh.
I love that you're now adding adjectives in there to like double down on the jinx. I got Wolves. I think Wolves might score four goals again.
Dylan's just leading us the wrong way. Go Wolves, baby.
Wolves. Hey, I will say your puns have gotten better.
Yes. Thank you. I am making a more concerted effort to make it a more natural sentence, and I'm not doing it for everyone and oversaturating the market.
Beautiful. I love that. Supply and demand is a great thing. Aston Villa hosting Arsenal. I think coming off of the Arsenal loss to Liverpool, they will want to get some revenge. But Villa will fucking beat him. I got Villa.
Really?
Ooh.
Yeah. I think Villa are legit good now.
I almost had pulled a not so fast my friend on the other way and said after the Liverpool win, Arsenal view this game as a letdown and lose. But I'm going to stick with the Gooners and say that they will end up in third place and get the W against Villa.
I kind of agree now that you said that.
I'm taking Arsenal as well.
Yeah, I don't want to be seen as a hypocrite since I've been calling it for weeks now. Arsenal definitely finishes in fourth. It's going to be Arsenal winning. hands down.
All right, I'll sit on that island. I've been on an island before and I won. Look at Brentford versus Burnley this past week. Leicester hosting Brentford. Brentford 2 wins. Leicester. What did Leicester do last? They lost, right? They lost. To they Arsenal. This is a tough one, actually. I think
this
got Leicester.
This has tie written all over it, but since I am a man of no ties, I got Leicester.
I think Leicester as well.
This is where champions are made. Buzz, buzz.
Uh-oh. Nick going with Brentford, 3 other Leicesters. And then the last game, Spurs hosting West Ham. Again, this is a tough one.
This has tie written.
Yeah, this looks like a fucking tie.
This week's tough. I'm taking Spurs. I don't really know why. I sat here and tried to think about it. I don't know why, but I'm taking them. I think it's because it's at home, maybe.
I'm taking a tie because, again, selfishly, I need that to happen.
I'm taking Spurs, too, even though I'm 99% sure it's definitely going to be a draw.
Yeah.
I'm with you, John. There's something about Spurs are going to figure it out this week because it's the win one, lose one.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
One for me, one for you. Well, you got to pick, Michael, so...
I got West Ham.
All right. Big West Ham game.
Wow, Dylan, only one draw this week.
Yeah, I feel dirty.
Is Dylan the most... He doesn't pick draws the most, does he?
Oh, yeah, he does.
Can we tell the analytics department to get on our percentage of picks and how they work out for us, please, if we could... Send that over to them.
Dude, it is impossible. Yeah, yeah. It is impossible.
What statistics are you looking for?
We need an intern.
Should we be... It's like the against the spread. How often do we get this team right when we pick them type shit?
I'll do it at the end of the year. I'll let you know your stats.
Okay, I'm glad you're doing this. I don't want to do that shit. I thought you guys were setting me up to do it. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll get right on that.
I like statistics, but retroactively putting in like the makeup games and then adjusting everyone's score... is a fucking pain in the ass. Oh my god,
well,
it's so annoying.
What we should have done is we actually instead of doing the thing in
Jesus Christ,
talk, John, speak. Yeah, instead of making it like one bar in Excel, you should have kept them split, and then you could have just done formulas the whole time.
Yeah, but I like working. You know, I shovel snow. I don't use a snowblower. Like I like the shoveling.
Harder, not smarter.
Come for the soccer, stay for the Excel spreadsheet presentation.
When you're buff as shit like this, you fucking shovel. God damn. Know?
Yeah, exactly. Dylan, I'm joining you with some bets this week. I got a new thing I want to roll out, but what you got anything for us? I know, did you not do some last week?
No, I was too invested in the Delaware game, but I got some this week.
All right, let's roll them out.
All right, so midweek... Liverpool versus Arsenal. Liverpool at -110, I think, is too good of a value to pass up. So I will be taking Liverpool -110. In the same game, we will be taking over 10.5 corners, +105. Also in Leicester and Brentford, we will be taking over 10.5 corners at -115. And then for the FA Cup, we will be doing the 1-2-3 parlay of Liverpool, Man City, and Chelsea all to win for +139.
What?
Oh, damn, that's it?
Oh, I'm in on that.
I'd be hoping it cracked 200.
It's not going
to
be higher. If you're feeling frisky, just throw Everton into that at +250, and it bumps it up to +736.
Ooh. They're not beating Palace at Palace. There's no way.
Oh, that's going to be a fun... That'll be a fun matchup, actually.
My last play
is... The Jackrabbits of South Dakota State, I think they're getting like +9 or something like that against Providence. I just saw Providence live in person, and I have a bad taste in my mouth, so I'm going with Jackrabbits.
Love it. A little basketball with our football, with our soccer. Nick and Michael, you still out?
I took the Gonzaga +50, or the Gonzaga plus from -10,000 to +100. Which is good. I'm shadowing Dylan's FA Cup bet. I'm not gonna lie. I'm just gonna take that one straight up.
Michael,
wow, you're
still suspended.
I can get Everton plus 2,900 to finish bottom.
it's a waste.
They're not worse than Norwich. They're not worse than Norwich.
2,900.
They can't. Yeah, but no, you're also saying that Norwich have to pick up 6 points. Where's that happening?
That's quite possible.
Nah. Anyway, okay. The one thing I wanted to start while on my trip, I got into a couple of TikTok wormholes. I think this is one thing that I can definitely do for the podcast that'll help out. These guys are on there doing $1 to $10,000 or $10 to $100,000 and just like doing one bet a day. And then they take that money and like rebet it and whatnot. So my $1 to get to 10,000, we'll do that. $1 to get to 10,000 is Benfica beating Ajax tomorrow. If I put that dollar in, it's plus 650. That's a good start. My $10 one, if I put a dollar in, I obviously get 650. There you go. My $10 one, Nick, I apologize for this in advance. I got Atleti beating Man United in the Champions League as well. That's plus 270. If I throw
not ridiculous
the $10 in there, obviously I get $27. Then we're at 37.
Are you betting that in to advance or in regulation?
Regulation.
I think your first bet is silly.
I think that whatchamacallit for Benfica wants to make sure that he's getting as much money when he gets signed this summer, and he's going to go off. It's going to be a crazy game. That's the most entertaining Champions League game of this round, for sure.
You're telling me Sebastian Haller is not going to go off still? That dude's freaking literally burning holes in nets.
Yeah, but, you know.
Hey, everyone cools off. Everyone cools off sometime.
Yeah. No. I can't believe I can't remember that dude's name.
Back on fire.
Michael, do you know that guy's name for Benfica?
No, I don't know anybody on Benfica.
he's the guy that's going to get signed.
Bless you.
They're new. Hold on. I don't want to leave the pod without having this information. You guys want to fill some air?
Is it Darwin Nunes?
Yeah, Darwin Nunes. Anyway.
20 goals. Holy fuck.
Yeah, he's him and Holler are going to go at it. Damn, first one back, an hour and 8 minutes, and a lot of that was bullshit at the beginning. Great work. Dylan, your last joke did make me laugh, I won't lie. So let's get him another one.
I was going to give you one to make fun of City, but then I decided your little... I just came off of jet lag. Red eye made me feel bad.
Oh my god!
So,
don't feel bad. Don't cry for me, Argentina. Give it to me.
So John, what ship has never arrived in the ports of Liverpool for Everton?
The championship.
The championship. You're gonna stay up, Hank. This one's for you. Cheers.
NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.